Well, good afternoon, everyone. President Biden has been in office for less than 2 days, and already there's a noticeable difference in the effort to listen to and be responsive to the needs of the states. So far, it appears that addressing COVID is his administration's top priority. Hour by hour, his team is seemingly unraveling the mess the previous administration left behind and focusing on improving vaccine supply and administration. Just yesterday, on the first full day of the Biden-Harris administration, the president signed 10 executive orders designed specifically to address this pandemic, including something I've been calling for, the invocation of the Defense Production Act to improve the supply chain that we need to enhance vaccine production, as well as increase testing and treatment therapies for Illinoisans and for all Americans. He's also asking Congress for $20 billion to expand vaccination centers and mobile clinics beyond what we've already planned, and for funding to hire 100,000 new public health workers to build up our nation's underappreciated and understaffed public health infrastructure. I've made clear to Illinois' congressional delegation the need to take up this legislation immediately. 48 hours into this new president's term and 11 months into this pandemic, it finally feels like help is on the way. It's in that context that I want to provide an update on the progress of Illinois' COVID-19 vaccine administration plan. What we've done and where we're headed next is what I want to present. This week, our Illinois National Guard mobile vaccination teams have begun operations at 6 vaccination sites in Cook County, working in partnership with the local public health department. And over the next 3 weeks, approximately 25 additional National Guard vaccination teams are deploying to more sites in high-need areas all across the state. That's on top of the soon-to-launch sites in St. Clair County that I announced last week. Let me pause to just acknowledge the heroic efforts of our Illinois National Guard, who have deployed to not only stand up mass vaccination sites, but also to protect the inauguration in Washington, D.C., and to protect our state capitol complex, all just in the last week alone. We all should be so very proud of our Illinois National Guard. They are considered among the best in the nation. The Guard is just one piece of our state's vaccination administration. They work in conjunction with the 97 local health departments who are all on the front lines and taking on the responsibility to vaccinate their communities at a scale never before seen, while also navigating a completely inadequate national supply of vaccine. Local public health departments are locally operated and funded, and you can imagine how challenging this pandemic has been for many of them. Imagine the work that they have to do, so vitally important, and not having enough staff or not having enough resources. So we've been there to try to help them, to lift them up. We've seen incredible work, though, among those local public health departments across the state, and I want to highlight two such examples. In Quincy, the Adams County Health Department has already ramped up to administer over 1,100 vaccines a day in a community of 65,000 residents. And in Greene County, about halfway between Adams County and St. Clair County, their health department administered their entire federal shipment last week within 24 hours of delivery. These are far from outliers. This week alone, Illinois set 3 days of records for vaccine doses administered, and not just by squeaking by. Our new high blew past our last by more than 10,000. That is to say, for 3 days in a row, we have hit record numbers of vaccinations in the state, and 10,000 more yesterday than the day before. In fact, as of today, of the vaccines directed by the state of Illinois, over 60% have been reported administered, and another 10% have likely been administered but have yet to be reported. Unfortunately, the same cannot be said for the Federal Pharmacy Partnership Program for long-term care facilities set up under President Trump. I'm very troubled to see the slow pace of the federal government's program to vaccinate long-term care residents, and I have expressed that concern to the Biden administration and to the pharmacy partners. They must accelerate the pace of vaccines to our most vulnerable residents. As of today, the federal government has set aside 524,050 doses from the overall number allocated to Illinois for the purpose of vaccinating long-term care residents. But only 93,683 have been administered by the federal government's program. That's less than 20% of their supply. After discussions directly with those pharmacy partners, they have pledged to vaccinate at all skilled nursing facilities and assisted living facilities by February 15th, with second and third visits in the subsequent weeks to assure full coverage to residents and staff. As of now, nearly all healthcare workers in Phase 1A have been provided the opportunity to get vaccinated, while the federal effort to vaccinate residents at long-term care facilities continues, although not nearly as quickly as I would like. This meets our criteria to substantially complete Phase 1A. So starting this coming Monday, January 25th, the entire state is moving to Phase 1B of our vaccination administration plan, as our very limited allotment allows. This means you will be eligible to get vaccinated if you're 65 and older, and if you're a worker who is classified by the CDC as a frontline essential worker, such as teachers, first responders, and grocery workers. This does not mean, however, that right away you will be able to get the vaccine as quickly as you have in the past gotten your flu shot. Because federal vaccine production was hampered by the failure of the previous administration to properly invoke the Defense Production Act, vaccine supply is limited all across the nation. There are additional vaccines in the pipeline that may soon see FDA approval, and that will help. But there are 3.2 million Illinoisans in Phase 1B, so there will be far greater demand than supply for at least the near term. To put it in perspective, we're expecting approximately 126,000 first doses to arrive next week outside of the city of Chicago. That's less than 4% of the 1B population. Until the vaccine supply improves, we will all, frankly, need to be patient. But we are building capacity so that as vaccine increases, hopefully over the coming weeks, we will be ready. Starting Monday, our National Guard sites, as well as local health departments and many pharmacies, will be taking appointments for those in Phase 1B, including at Walgreens, CVS, and Jewel Osco, with hundreds of sites coming online. By February 1st, additional pharmacies, including Hy-Vee, Mariano's, and Kroger, will join them. As we increase capacity to make vaccine widely available, we will launch a statewide website to provide more information so that you can make an appointment to get vaccinated. Already today, the Walgreens appointment website is up and running, and the others will soon follow. Although appointments will be hard to get for some time, times will become more and more available to you to make appointments for, as our state receives increasing numbers of doses. Because of the supply limitations, I want to reemphasize that vaccinations will be given by appointment only. So don't try to line up at your local store or call your local pharmacy. When we have a steady stream of vaccine coming in from the federal government, we will launch walk-in locations and round-the-clock operations. As the nation awaits greater supplies and ramps up vaccination sites, every Illinoisan can do their part to fight this pandemic with the tools we know work, masking and distancing. And over the last 8 weeks, we've all used those tools and made real progress bringing down our COVID hospitalizations, our positivity rates, and our daily COVID-19 cases as a state. Our statewide positivity is the lowest it's been since mid-October, And while COVID-19 hospitalizations are still more than twice what they were this summer, they are now almost half of our fall peak. Enormous sacrifices are being made to achieve this progress, but those sacrifices are truly making a real difference. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who is doing their part. This also means that our regions have achieved reduced mitigation levels based upon the metrics that IDPH set out. New as of today, Region 4 has improved to Tier 2 mitigations, meaning that now all 11 of our regions have seen meaningful enough improvement to exit our strictest mitigations. Two more regions, Cook County and Chicago, are on track to move into Tier 1 tomorrow, which would allow for limited reopening of bars and restaurants. And some regions have made enough progress to advance to Phase 4, which is a level of reduced mitigations that we achieved last summer. My administration has worked with public health officials to balance supporting the economy with keeping people safe, and will continue to do so. And in a few moments, Dr. Zike will walk you through new sports guidance, allowing expanded levels of play for youth and adult recreational sports for regions that reach Phase 4. I'm very pleased with the progress that we're making as a state, but I want to remind us all that we continue to live in a perilous moment. Look around the nation, outside of Illinois, and you'll see the pandemic at its worst in many places. The risk of a resurgence in Illinois, particularly with extremely contagious new variants, is serious. Our ability to have limited indoor restaurant service and to restart youth sports could be cut short if we aren't extremely careful. The CDC is already warning that the faster spreading UK variant could become the dominant strain in the United States in March. And a virus that's more contagious ultimately results in more cases, more hospitalizations, and more deaths. Yet on a more hopeful note, that same report noted that if we take proven measures to reduce transmission, like mask wearing and ramping up our vaccination rates nationwide, we can tamp down infection rates into the spring, even with the UK variant. I know none of us want to see another wave of COVID that brings on more mitigations, so let's not let our guard down. With cautious behavior, we can keep people healthy and power through these final months of the pandemic together. Now I'd like to take a moment to update you on our efforts to provide economic relief to our small businesses, particularly those most in need. Illinois' Business Interruption Grant Program, the largest of its kind in the nation, delivered a record number of grants to rural, micro, and minority-owned businesses statewide. It saved jobs across the state. There's more that can be done, though. Last week, the federal government's Paycheck Protection Program, or PPP, reopened with another $280 billion in forgivable loans, offering another opportunity for small businesses to unlock emergency funds. Of course, that's easier said than done. We know from past rounds that the federal PPP has presented tremendous barriers for very small businesses and those that are minority-owned, since both tend not to have the in-house navigation expertise of larger corporations. That's why we're beefing up assistance to all small businesses in Illinois, so anyone eligible gets access to this next round of federal PPP funds. I've directed my administration to provide community navigators through our small business centers, to our small business development centers, to work directly with our small business owners, helping them access the dollars they deserve, with a special focus on businesses who haven't received aid from the state, because we know the need is still so great. Our community navigators will sponsor more than 100 webinars in the coming weeks, offer virtual office hours in every region, support for local chambers of commerce, and collaborate with local governments to raise awareness. To learn more about getting help accessing federal PPP money, visit illinois.gov/DCEO. Our small business development centers and community navigators will also serve to support small businesses who qualify for the soon-to-launch federal Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program for hard-hit businesses in low-income areas, and the Shuttered Venue Operator Grants, providing support for theaters and cinemas, concert venues, and more under COVID-19 stimulus authorized by Congress last month. So the bottom line is this: Illinois is focused on vaccine administration, maintaining strong healthcare and hospital systems, and scientifically based public health mitigations, but all the while building toward the economic recovery that we all know we need by helping job creators survive and thrive as we work to overcome this pandemic. So thank you very much. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to the director of the Department of Public Health, Dr. Ngozi Ezike.
Thank you, Governor, and good afternoon, everyone. Over the past 7 months, I've received countless emails, letters, phone calls from students, from parents, from coaches, many others about youth sports. There have been organized protests about the issue. I hear and I see and I feel the passion around youth sports. I take very seriously the value that recreational outlets offer the physical and the mental health of our children. I also take very seriously the need to protect them, as do their parents and their coaches and the broader communities. So we are looking at how we can all play safely together, and we will talk about that now. The updated sports guidance that we are releasing today outlines the level of play allowed, dictated by the current public health conditions that we find ourselves in. We have to think about the amount of virus circulating in the communities. We have to continue to think about the test positivity, the people in the ICU with COVID, and as well as other metrics. The guidance outlines when only trainings can be permitted versus when intra-conference play can be allowed. And then at the highest level, when tournaments and championship games across leagues can be permissible. As has been the case throughout the pandemic, we can't change the fact that there are different sports and they have different levels of risk. Sports like basketball or football or wrestling pose a higher risk compared to those such as track and field or baseball or gymnastics. So we can and have to make adjustments to best balance the ability to play and the need to stay safe, depending on the conditions in the community. And so that's where everyone comes in to continue, as the governor has implored, continue with the masking and the safe choices that will allow these numbers to continue in the downward right direction. So moving forward, for all the regions that are in phase four already, and as of today, that is regions three, and as well as regions five and six. So regions three, five, and six are currently in phase four. We do hope for more regions to join them. All sports will be allowed to play at the intra-conference region or league levels. I hope that we'll all use the experience that we have garnered as we go forward so that we don't, in fact, see another surge and go back into higher levels of mitigation that would suspend these levels of play. Reduced mitigation does not mean abandoned mitigation. Businesses, restaurants, events, and activities still need to have reduced capacities. People still need to avoid large events. We still need to use our masks all the time. We know that these things worked. It's just a plain fact. And so we need to keep doing what will work to keep our numbers down so we can continue having sports and having indoor dining as those requests. I'm also cautious, as the governor mentioned, that as we begin to see these other variants of COVID-19 spread, we have another threat against these numbers that we've worked so hard to bring down. Early studies have shown that the variant first detected in the United Kingdom spreads more quickly, and that could cause our case counts to skyrocket in a very short period of time. We've also heard of variants coming out of South Africa, and yet another in Brazil, another in Nigeria, and we suspect that those variants identified will continue to increase. We know that viruses constantly change, and new variants of the virus are expected. We must continue to stay on guard as the virus that causes COVID-19 mutates and as these new variants are in fact detected. We will continue to perform genomic sequence testing on more and more specimens to help detect these variants and their potential spread. In the last 24 hours, more than 125,000 COVID-19 test results were reported, for a total since the beginning of this pandemic of more than 15.2 million tests. Overnight, in the hospitals across Illinois, 3,179 individuals were hospitalized with COVID, and of those 3,179, 661 were in the intensive care units, and 348 patients were on ventilators. Today, 7,042 new individuals with COVID have been reported, for a total of 1,093,375 total cases. Since yesterday, we've received reports of 95 individuals who have passed from COVID, for a total of 18,615 lives lost to COVID-19. Regarding the 7,000 cases today, that number, if you note, is slightly higher than what we've been seeing. And that is due to an adjustment. We've adjusted our probable case count, included in the total cases we've just reported. We have worked tirelessly over the past year to provide the latest health guidance to combat COVID-19. And we're providing the best data we can so that people can see what is happening as quickly as possible in their respective communities. Our response to this pandemic has evolved from a year ago, and it'll continue to evolve as we continue to learn more, as we study the new variants, and as the vaccine successfully goes into the arms of the people of Illinois. What will never change is our commitment to protect the health and safety of all communities and to provide as much information as quickly as we can to all of the residents of Illinois. Our objective is simple: end this pandemic as quickly as possible. And we need your help to do that, of course. So please continue to wear your mask. Please continue to maintain 6 feet of distance. Please continue to avoid large gatherings. And let's get vaccinated when your turn is up. Thank you, and I will summarize comments in Spanish.
Buenas tardes. Durante los últimos 7 meses, he recibido innumerables correos electrónicos, cartas y llamadas telefónicas de estudiantes, padres, maestros, entrenadoras y muchos otros sobre deportes. También he escuchado de las protestas. Tomo muy en serio el valor que los espacios recreativos ofrecen a la salud física y mental para nuestra juventud y la necesidad de protegerlos. También a sus padres, amigos y comunidades en general de esta pandemia, para que todos puedan jugar juntos de manera segura cuando esto termine. La guía deportiva que compartimos hoy describe nuevamente el nivel de juego permitido por las condiciones de salud pública. También describe cuando solo se deben permitir los entrenamientos, cuando se permita el juego dentro de la conferencia y cuando se permitan los torneos y los juegos de campeonato. Como ha sido el caso a lo largo de esta pandemia, no podemos cambiar el hecho de que los diferentes deportes conllevan diferentes niveles de riesgo. Pero podemos hacer ajustes para equilibrar mejor la capacidad de jugar y la necesidad de permanecer a salvo. pero no más si permitan las condiciones de la comunidad. En el futuro, para todas las regiones que se encuentran en la fase 4, y a partir de hoy incluyen las regiones 3, 5 y 6, todos los deportes podrán jugar al nivel intraconferencia, región o intraliga. Soy optimista con las tendencias que estamos viendo en Illinois, las tasas de positividad y el número de gente que están en los hospitales. Todos están bajando. Soy cautelosa por un par de razones. Durante el verano vimos una caída en los casos y el estado pudo abrirse un poco más. Pero como todos sabemos, a partir del otoño vimos aumentar el número de casos, gente en el hospital y muertes. Espero que todos usemos esa experiencia y la información que hemos aprendido a medida que avanzamos para que no veamos otro aumento. Mitigación reducida no significa ausencia de mitigación. Los negocios, restaurantes, eventos y actividades deben tener capacidades reducidas. La gente debe seguir evitando grandes eventos y todos debemos seguir usando nuestras máscaras. Sabemos que estas cosas funcionan. También soy cautelosa a medida que comenzamos a ver otras variantes de la propagación de COVID-19. Los primeros estudios han demostrado que la variante detectada por primera vez en el Reino Unido parece propagar más rápidamente. Otra variante ha surgido en Sudáfrica y otro en Brasil y otra en Nigeria. Los virus cambian constantemente y se esperan nuevas variantes de un virus. IDPH va a seguir para la supervisión de estas nuevas variantes y proporcionar nueva información a medida que esté disponible. En las últimas 24 horas se han informado más de 125 mil pruebas fueron hechas para un total de más de 15.2 millones de pruebas aquí en Illinois. Desde anoche, 3,179 personas estuvieron en el hospital con COVID-19. De ellos, 661 pacientes estaban en la unidad de cuidados intensivos y 348 personas estaban en ventiladores. 7,042 nuevos casos de COVID-19 para un total más de 1,093,000 casos en Illinois. Desde ayer hemos recibido informes de 95 personas con COVID-19 que han fallecido por un total de más de 18,600 vidas perdidas aquí en Illinois. El número total de casos que se notifican hoy es ligeramente elevado. El total de casos incluye los casos confirmados como los probables. Ahora también incluye el número de muertes probables desde el comienzo de la pandemia. Anteriormente, solo las muertes confirmadas se incluyeron en el total de casos. Sin embargo, como total de casos incluyen los casos confirmados y probables, ahora se incluyen las muertes probables. El IDPH ha trabajado incansablemente durante el año pasado para brindar información para combatir el COVID-19 y que la gente puede ver lo que está sucediendo. Por favor, continúe usando sus máscaras, mantenga su distancia, evite eventos grandes y lávese las manos y vacúnese cuando sea elegible. Muchísimas gracias para su apoyo.